So vast amounts of water are trapped beneath the Earth's interior, and I know how it feels. Well, what do you know?
Welcome to an encore performance of Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on piano and Jeff Hammond on bass with Sarah Nix announcing. In this hour of What Do You Know, we welcome legendary singer-songwriter Bobby Bear Jr. to the Terrace stage, plus all the news that isn't and a round of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
And now... Oh, are you saying it or am I saying it? I'll say it. And now the man who's never felt better and intends to see somebody about it, it's Michael Feldman.
Okay. Well, that worked. Okay.
Sarah Nix, ladies and gentlemen.
First opening joke.
I thought it went good. I thought.
Yeah, it was okay. You guys were a little confused out there, but you did well.
Not as confused as we are. But that's kind of interesting because most of the Earth's mass actually is water weight. That's what that means. So who can't relate to that? All right, and all the news that isn't. Well, I know I'm not wearing my headphones, so I'm not really an official radio star. There we are. Oh, now I am. I could be anybody now on the radio. Where was I? Oh, yes, and all the news that isn't. After the patent office pulls the Washington Redskins trademark, the dyed pistachio people are all over it. Okay. Washington did propose a new name, but the league rejected the Foreskins due to Jewish sensitivity. Russia moves into Ukraine to collect the gas bill. This just in. Ukraine closed its border with Russia, locking 30,000 Russian troops inside. Okay. How about this one then? Botox makers show no visible reaction to takeover attempts. President Obama to send 300 to Iraq, led by Gerard Butler, who looks remarkably fit, by the way. Pope Francis says making recreational drugs legal would be a buzzkill. In Latin, it sounds a little better. U.S. stock futures higher, but fail to arrive. Okay. You have stocks then, huh? Excuse me, my nose is running. This is not really professional, but it's worse if I let it go. All right. Where was I? But fail to arrive. Every time you power on your new Amazon Fire phone, it pleasures Jeff Bezos. Smiley face for me. Hillary is deciding between running and seizing office. You know, perhaps Hillary's greatest strength is being married to Hillary. By the way, she's using just the one name now because it worked for Madonna, Hitler. Space station espresso machine reverse engineers the urine back to coffee. Could be the start of a vicious cycle, though. Every half hour, I have to make coffee. Got up three times in the middle of the night to make coffee. Can I warm up your coffee? Anyway, do not ask for a frappe on the space station. Page 3. The passenger pigeon will be recreated genetically and used for long extinct ladies' hats. I was thinking. House Republicans hold Bop the Mole leadership session. Bop the Mole? You know. Whack the Mole. God, let me do it again. Stop the tape. Roll it back. House Republicans hold Whack the Mole leadership session. Mitt Romney says Hillary is, what do the kids call it, clueless. Mitt, those kids are 40 years old now. Use that one. The new arthritis drug grows hair on bald men able to open the bottle. Texas Governor Rick Perry, for some reason, associates homosexuality with being really, really drunk. Gun sales are down. Americans are either buying fewer guns or learning to be happy with the guns that God gave them. Harley's new electric hog is so quiet they had to clothespin playing cards to the rim so you can hear it coming. And the very latest dictionary edition is the Merriam-Upers Collegiate Dictionary, so that's pretty exciting around here. Those of you with supermassive black holes ejecting superheated gas, the gas company will be getting to you as quickly as it can. There's quite a backlog. And finally, and I mean that, if the allegations on the campaign finance against him are true, President Scott Walker could be impeached. Fortunately, after he abolished Congress, very little chance of that. That's all the news that is, and thank you so much, and good night. And to all the ships at sea, depending upon the time zone, they find themselves. Well, I'm pretty excited. Bobby Bear Jr. is joining us here. He's been with us not since the album where the tree fell on his mother's head. So we got to find out how that came out. Bobby Bear Jr., where is he? He's here somewhere, I know. I don't think we have a guest room back there. How are you, man? Got to use your phone for this? You going to phone this in?
This is my tuner.
Oh, that's your tuner?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, were you busy back there? I didn't know you would. I didn't know we had a room back there. Is there a backstage here?
Yes, it's a cage.
I've never been allowed back there. How is your mom, if I may ask?
My mom is great.
Yeah?
Yeah, she's in Florida with my children right now.
She is, yeah.
My dad.
Yeah. And she has recovered from the tree incident, which made a great song.
Well,
but
they recovered by moving. They moved to a different house that has, it's a new house with trees that are, only the tallest tree is that big, so she wants to get hit by a tree now. She has to go out and lay on the ground next to the tree.
And that actually, that actually happened. There was a storm and the tree fell not only on your house, but on your mother who was sitting there.
Directly on top of her.
Yeah.
They rebuilt the house.
Yeah.
She cracked two vertebrae in her neck.
Oh, okay.
She got, crawled out of the rubble and called the emergency people.
Yeah.
Rebuilt the house.
Yeah.
2 years later, exact same thing happened.
No.
Exact same thing.
No.
Fell directly on top of her. This time she was in a closet. And she didn't get hurt. But it was still, you know.
So she ran to the closet anticipating this might happen again.
And she's like,
it hit the closet?
Yeah, it split the house in two again. So they figured they're going to get out of the house at that point.
This is in Hendersonville?
Hendersonville, Tennessee.
Yeah.
There's been around 30 people in Sumner County, which is where Hendersonville is, just north of Nashville, die from tornadoes and high winds in the last like 5 years.
So she got out of there after the second one.
Yeah, and people from her friends from church would say to me when I saw them, God was looking out for your mama when he protected her from that tree. I'm like, God hit my mom exactly, took aim, and went right for her two times.
It was a test of faith. It was a test of faith.
Yes. But she's great.
Yeah, well, that's good.
She's in Florida. So.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear it. I've been worried about that ever since.
Yeah.
So how was it by you?
Great. We've been out with Guided by Voices since June 2nd.
Yeah, great band, by the way.
So much fun.
Having a lot of fun, are you?
I think I saw the stack of empty Miller Lite cases last night, and they were about, I think they're going to, I'm trying to get them to change the name of the band to Guided by Vices.
Yeah.
Because it seems to
Guided by Miller would be.
Miller Lite.
Guided by Light.
Fuel is great. It's so much fun.
Well, it sounds great. And would you like to introduce the guys with you here?
Yes.
People are probably with.
This is Robbie Crowell from Canada.
Oh. There you go.
I usually introduce him as my brother because people believe that, but it's a lie.
Yeah.
And the other lie is this is my cousin Kai. Kai Wilkes.
Who did that?
I think that was my face.
Oh,
that was my face when I turned my head. This side, the left side of my face, I guess, has horrible implications for feedback.
That was your bad side.
I'll stand
Don't put your bad side on.
Yes.
And the kids are not traveling with you on this? Do you make your kids work with you like your dad made you?
They sing. They sang. My daughter sang on the Shel Silverstein tribute record
that. Oh, she did. Yeah.
She sang "Daddy What If," which was the song I sang with my dad.
Right. Yeah.
In the 70s.
Yeah. So. You were number one by the time you were 10 years old, right?
Yeah, I was. I was joking with someone yesterday. They were Robert from God by Voices saying he had his first band in 1976, and I was like, man, I had already peaked in 1976. 1976, I had already peaked and on my decline.
Yeah, no, this is your comeback trail. No, that's your trying to get back to that song. What you got for us here?
This is a song called "Don't Want to Know."
My guitar's a little loud. I'm very sorry.
What's that?
My guitar's a little bit louder than it was at sound check. I'm very sorry.
No, that's quite all right. That was symphonic. Are you
emotions
working
and
on a symphony?
Feelings and emotions.
Yeah.
Lots of fun.
Yeah. You have a symphony of emotions? Is that what you
mean? Yeah. Confused.
More than just the mordant humor?
Yes, you're right.
Running through it?
Yes.
Yes.
We've been doing this with the band, so our drummer is asleep somewhere a couple of miles away. So this is our first little trio arrangement. So we're trying this out for you right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, no, I like it. I like it. It was evocative. Of what? I have no idea. But it evoked something in me, and I'm trying to put that back. And where did you pull that horn out of?
Actually, Michael, there has been an advancement in music history this morning.
Today.
Yeah. I call this the trumpet necklace.
You have it on a necklace? Oh, yeah. It's hanging there somewhere.
He took the strap off my guitar case, wrapped it around his neck, and threw the trumpet. So now he doesn't have to reach for the trumpet off the ground or somewhere random.
Yeah. It's a little bit like a rape whistle, kind of.
Except it's a trumpet.
Yeah. Could double, I suppose. And you're playing the tambourine with your foot, and the sax player just has a sax. So.
Right.
What's with that?
Well,
can't you do something else?
He's limited.
Yeah.
He's limited by the instruments we allowed him to bring up here today.
Oh,
he plays everything.
Okay.
But he's the bass player, actually.
Oh, you are?
Band. Yeah.
That'd be hard to do that in the sax, I suppose.
Yeah. And the keyboard player.
Okay, well, I can see the problems.
Rotate.
You don't usually play a keyboard then?
I do when he doesn't take my job.
Oh, okay. All right. It's very confusing. You know, your personnel are your business.
Yes.
We should mention that tonight you're going to be in Chicago. Is that?
We're going to be playing the Green Music Festival in Chicago tonight at 7:20.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Is that outdoors, though?
It's outdoors, and it might be raining.
Yeah.
No rain, no green, so I guess they got to keep it real.
Yeah. So, all right. And then on to, let's see, July 10th, Athens, Georgia. We have some from Savannah here, so you can probably catch it at the Green Room. And then you go into to Louisville.
We're playing the Lebowski Fest in Louisville.
We're headlining the Saturday night.
that was meant to be.
My initial idea was, and I tried to make this happen, I called Kenny Rogers' manager to see if I could get Kenny Rogers just to sing what... Checked in to see what condition my condition was in. Because I thought that would be amazing.
Oh, that'd be so
like,
cool.
Just one song. Just have Kenny. We'll get him we'll get him up here. He's just going to be hanging out in Nashville that day anyways. He'll walk out, do one song, get back in the car, and go right back home. Let's do it. And his manager goes, I'll run it by Kenny. But so now, that didn't work out. So now
he's trying to lose that first edition whole thing. You know,
right.
He's trying to leave that behind.
Psychedelic his brother, years. All that stuff.
Yeah.
But now I'm trying to find an affordable Kenny Rogers lookalike to do it. If anybody out there knows a Kenny Rogers lookalike, email me at bobbybairdjr@gmail.com so I can get that guy. And I'm going to swear on the lives of my children that is Kenny Rogers.
Yeah.
You know, and have him leave before anybody figures out that wasn't Kenny Rogers.
He should have done it.
That's the hope.
So
we'll see.
All right. You got one here now for us.
Yes.
Is this, what's this going to be?
This is a song called The Big Time.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I want to hit the big time. I'm here today counting on you to get to propel me.
The little time,
Sometimes when I'm at home with all my friends in Nashville that I love the most, I look at them and I say, I can't wait till I become really, really famous because I will never hang out with you people ever again. It's my dream. I want to do what they call in Los Angeles upgrade.
Yeah.
All
and you can refuse the damn Lebowski Fest.
Huh?
You can refuse the damn Lebowski
right.
Fest.
Right.
You know?
That would be beneath me.
Pass it, this pass
would
it
be
by
beneath
you.
Me. I'm looking forward to the day when I can say, no, I can't do that. I can't do your show. Are you kidding me? No. Call Kenny Rogers. I can't do your show. That's my hope. That's my dream, you know.
Sounds good.
So that's what I'm shooting for.
All right.
Starts with the horns.
Sounds good.
You're gonna miss me
after I hit the big time. You won't see me around here no more. You're gonna miss me after I hit the big time. I'm gonna go get brand new famous friends. And don't bother phoning me after you see me on TV. My old phone number, you know I had to have it, Jane. You can't be ahead of me from your brow. Could he see? But I won't see. Cause these bright lights have left me blind. You won't recognize me no more after I hit the big time. Because my Asian stylist will be in complete control. I'm gonna speak so differently after I hit the big time. Because this southern drawl is just dragging me down. And don't bother. Had to have it. You can't be ahead of me from your bow. Could he see? But I won't see. Cause these bright lights have left me blind. Darling, you can't hurt me no more after I hit the big time. Cause I will be far away, only caring about myself. And if you see me on the street and you try to talk to me, I'll say you have mistaken me for someone else. You have completely mistaken me for someone else. And don't bother phoning me after you see me on TV. My old phone number, you know I had to have it changed. You can't be ahead of me from your brow. Could he see that I won't see? Cause bright lights left me blind. Hoodies bright lights have left me blind.
Listening to Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI Public Radio International. Once again, it's Michael Feldman.
And when he hits the big time, he'll have roadies. They won't have to do all this stuff. They schlep all this stuff here and there. Very nice to stop in here actually and do that. Undefeated, by the way, is the new CD. It's on Amazon for $5. You can't go wrong. It's on Bloodshot, I believe, right? Bloodshot?
Yes.
Yes, Bloodshot. They're good guys. Undefeated. Bobby Bear Jr. Hitting the big time. Just using us. All right, what do we usually do here now?
I think you usually talk to people in the audience.
Oh, I do. That's what these cards are for. Yep. Okay, I haven't had a chance to read them. I hope they're just fabulous. Let's do it this way and just take them in order and let the chips fall where they may. Okay. Glamper says here. And Oz DeMore from Wisner, Nebraska, and it just says Glamper. What does Glamper mean? Well, I mean, I'll come to you. Hang on just a second. Glamper. It's code for something. All right, I've got to go down there because I got to find out what Glamper. You know what Glamper means?
Not a clue.
Glamper?
No.
No? Anything? No. Glamper? No one in this row. I have to go all the way down the row, I'm afraid, to find out the whole Glamper thing. I sure hope it's worth it. Yeah. What do you think? Could be a false lead. One of those red herrings, a mulligan. No, not a mulligan. Whatever they call those things that aren't true. How are you?
I'm fine.
Just stand up here just so people know I'm not doing both voices.
Okay. So yeah. My friends, college friends from a few years ago, were glamping, which means glamour camping. So.
Glamper, because you're a glamour camper.
Yeah. So we rented an RV. We were RV virgins. So we have been tooling down the highway knowing not what we're doing. And
keeping it in the lane pretty much because the wind can shift you around.
Yeah, we're having trouble, and we had to pull in that big rain a couple nights ago. But so now we're set up. And we have our boas, feather boas, and our lanterns.
You have your
boys.
I thought you said boys. You have your boys.
No, this is just for girls. And so, and our fur stoles and our dresses and our fun.
Wait a minute, you go camp. You dress up and while you camp.
This is glamour camping.
I sort of get the concept, not totally, but.
And we have electric fondue pots, and you know we're. Glamour camping.
Did you ever leave the RV then? Or for? Obviously, because you're here.
We're here.
Okay. You're from Savannah, right?
From Savannah. Yeah. Yes.
Is this what they do in Savannah? They glamp?
No, this is what they do in, where are we? Madison.
Well, thank you for that.
To be fair, she flew from Savannah. She came from Nebraska. They came to St. Louis, where I live. Yeah. And then we drove up here. Yeah. So we're all a little...
It's all clear to me except why you came here.
Why not?
Why not?
Because we've always wanted to come to this show.
Yeah, well, that's really wonderful, actually. It's very sweet of you to do that. And so we got Ann and...
Kristen.
Tracy.
And you all went to school together, you said?
Mm-hmm. Yes. University of Northern Iowa.
Northern Iowa. Yeah. It gets more and more diverse. Okay. And so how long is your glamping trip?
Glamping until next Wednesday. And then
where do you glamp from here?
Well, from Devil's Lake, we plan to go to Door County. And so we're driving a long way. But we're going to see all...
And you're driving?
Well, we're all sharing the driving responsibilities.
Okay. But, yeah. Is it say so on the contract?
Well, we're all covered.
I'm talking liability here.
Well, we are.
All right, let's hear it for our glampers. Well, thank you so much, you guys. We got some stuff for you. Can we give something to glamp with?
I think whiskey is probably a good addition.
What?
Whiskey.
We have what?
Whiskey.
We have whiskey?
We have whiskey.
Since when do we have whiskey?
Nobody ran that by me.
Sorry, John. You got left out of the loop on that one.
Where did we get whiskey?
We got it from Old Sugar Distillery. It's the Queen Jenny sorghum whiskey.
How long has this been true that you have not told me this?
I've been hiding it in my desk.
Oh, okay. Whiskey.
Yeah, it's named after the Queen of the Bootleggers, so it's perfect for glamping from
okay.
Old Sugar Distillery.
I don't think they drink whiskey in Savannah, do they? Marshmallows with Kahlua? Do we have marshmallows with Kahlua?
We do not have those. I do not have those in my desk drawer.
All right, so that's glamping. So that was worth coming. All this way here. These are the glampers. All the glampers here. Where is my llama manure? Scott. From Madison.
Right here.
Okay. Be right there, Scott. I gotta walk sideways through this aisle here because if I go forwards, it really becomes really ridiculous. And there's contact. There's contact with strange people, but I'm the strangest of them, of course. Oh, hi there. Llama manure. Do you have a llama there for manure?
No, I was on your show about 22 years ago. Oh. I won.
and one of the prizes was llama manure. You said you were going to send it. It never arrived.
Well, the good news is it's probably pretty good by now.
I bet it's fermented nicely, yes.
Yeah. I'll look into that.
Don't point at me.
No,
I don't know
actually who would be responsible.
I got my cheese. I got my sausage. I didn't get my manure.
Okay. I definitely will look into it.
Okay. If you could do that, it'd be great.
All right. We used to have, apparently, I don't remember. You remember, John, you were around for that, weren't you?
22 years ago?
Yeah. Llama manure.
I remember some other manure, but not llama.
Yeah. Okay, we'll look into it.
Sure.
David Murray, Norman, Oklahoma. Yeah. Okay. How are you?
Hi.
Good. You?
Fine.
Fine, thank you. It says here you're a lab instructor in what area?
Physical geography.
Physical geography as opposed to spiritual geography or what?
Human.
Opposed to what?
Generally now geography is divided into two broad categories. Human, which is related to cultures and sociology and sort of how people are arranged upon the planet. And then there's physical, which is more like physics and chemistry and how they interact with.
This is the opening day lecture, isn't it? I get partial credit for this?
You have to enroll in school.
Oh, I suppose I do, yes. I can just take those courses now because I'm of a certain age and just sit in there and take whatever courses I want.
Okay.
And you're a physical. You're not this.
Yeah. People confuse me.
Yeah. Not just maps anymore, geography.
Oh, no, that's cartography.
That's cartography. That's not just countries on a globe anymore.
No.
No. Do you have a favorite sort of map projection that you favor?
Ooh, I like the butterfly projection.
I hadn't heard of that. What? And how does that work?
It was. It looks like a butterfly. It was. Came out of 1918 or so, and it distorts the globe as little as possible. So you can show the entire planet. You can show straight lines are the shortest distance and true distance. You can compare all different straight lines to all the other straight lines. Is it?
No, I am. I'm fascinated with that. I know you think I'm not. They're not. But this kind of thing that interests me for some strange reason. But it is a little upsetting, all those gaps between the continents and stuff.
But I mean, if you have like the normal Mercator map, you can draw a straight line, and that is a line of constant bearing, but it's not the shortest distance. So when you're in an airplane, the airplane goes this way, then this way, then this way, then this way. It's because that's the shortest distance, but it's lines of constant bearing, so it's easier for navigation, but it's not so great for we want to go this way. No.
Well, I see advantages and disadvantages, is what I'm saying.
Yeah?
There's what's in those gaps between continents and things? It's
nothing. Yeah, there's
then
nothing.
Then we're back in the spiritual realm again. Then it's spiritual geography. What is in those gaps?
Nothing. They're just gaps.
Easy for you to say because you're in the physical end of things.
Yes.
Very nice to meet you. You're a very good instructor as well, and you're a grad student as well, and you're in school there in Oklahoma?
Yep, University of Oklahoma.
Oklahoma! Go Okies! Sooners, right? Not Okies, they don't care for that one. I'm sorry, I didn't say that. Sooners. Okay, so here we go, and we're going to play the What Do You Know quiz now. Before we can do that, this gentleman here has to, he took off his flak jacket, and he's going to get you, put on the glasses. Okay, come on over here then. Step over here. Step right up here. We'll get you over here. And are you on vacation now, or what's going on with you?
Oh, no, just down to live in Sun Prairie, brought the relatives.
You're vacationing here in Madison?
All the time, yes. Retired, we call it.
Yeah. What do you do there in Sun Prairie?
What I used to do, teach school.
Teach school? Yeah. Did you know this about that map, the butterfly map?
No.
Because you really could have used it. Kids love that kind of
thing. Use that as a quiz question or something.
I'm going to give this to you.
Okay. All questions used on What Do You Know have been painstakingly researched. All the answers have not. Ambiguous, misleading, or poorly worded questions are par for the course. Listeners are sticklers for the truth, should get their own shows. Cardinals remain suspicious, but robins will tolerate you after a while. Could use some more work. Persons employed by the International House of Radio or its member stations are lucky to be working at all, let alone tying up the office phones trying to play the quiz. Listeners who have won recently should sit on their hands and let someone else have a chance for a change. Here we go. All opinions expressed on What Do You Know are well-reasoned and insightful. Needless to say, those are not of the International House of Radio, its member stations, or lackeys. Anyone else? Anyone who else say otherwise is itching for a fight.
Thank you. Thank you. Your name again is?
Paul Rudd.
Thanks, Paul. Well done. All right. Let's see the hands of those of you. No, don't applaud, because then I can't tell what. All right, now, here's my two reactions. One is, no way. The other is, well, maybe it's important to her, and it could be a setback. You're here to help me? Oh, thank you. Anybody else? All right, come on, make my show better. I dare you. Did the network send you? That's not upsetting. I'm here to make your show better. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
You go around to some of the other shows and make them better as
everywhere
well?
Everywhere I can, yes.
What shows have you made better so far?
Yours. 22 years ago, I was here with that guy.
Oh, you were here with him.
Make sure you collect on the prizes. I
got all my prizes, actually.
I notice he's with someone else now. That's no coincidence. And your name is?
Sarah.
Sarah, and you're from around here, Sarah?
Fond du Lac.
Fond du Lac is not too far, anyhow. What do you do up there?
I'm an occupational therapist.
Okay, very good. And Sarah, give me one good reason why I should play this quiz. Did you already?
Well, I did 22 years ago, and I need new stuff. My stuff is wearing out, so.
Yeah, mine too. Okay. Come on, bring your stuff up here and we'll prepare it for my stuff. And we'll see what happens. Have a seat there. Yeah. Well, you got the fresh cup of water. That's the best news so far. Sarah?
Yes.
Yeah? So, and then where do you work there? Up in Fond du Lac at one of the?
I work at a nursing home.
Oh, you do? In Fond du Lac?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And what do you do? What's your passion outside of work? Obviously, your work is your passion, but
fun. I do community theater.
Oh,
I
you
have
do
a lot of fun doing that.
You do. You
mm-hmm.
seem like not outgoing enough to do that.
Well, I'm working on it.
Yeah. Are you? Is there a play going on right now or something in
there
production?
There is, but I'm not in it. I'm going to usher though.
You're going to usher.
And I get to see it for free.
You're ushering for. And what is the production?
Jesus Christ Superstar.
Isn't there a part for you in there? I would think there would be.
No. I was the Wicked Witch of the West last year.
Yeah, but that's not in Jesus Christ Superstar.
No.
That'd be
kind of
cool
though,
if they
yeah.
put in something for you in there, you know, just have a witch. What's the witch doing in Jesus Christ? you were the witch, did you say?
I was.
Yeah?
I was green and everything.
Are you worried about being typecast?
Not too much. That wasn't nice.
No, I'm just kidding you. I feel like I know you now because you made my show so much better. Like I owe you some. It must have been a fun role, though.
It was. It was really fun. Like, the Munchkins were little kids, and yeah. they were actually terrified of me. I had a lot of fun with that.
Oh, really? Still, to this day, I bet you set back some of them in their development. Is
yeah.
what I'm thinking.
I see them at the grocery store, you know, and they start wetting their pants and stuff.
Oh, we have fun. Oh, yeah, that's great. That's what's so great about theater. Well, are you going to be in the fall production then? Something coming up you're looking forward
I'm
to?
I'm not sure. Yeah. I think Steel Magnolias is in the spring. I might.
Yeah.
Might try that.
You should be
know.
In that.
Yeah, maybe. Well, if they cast me, you know, I can't be too presumptuous.
Sure you can.
I can.
I've seen it already. All right, Sarah, someone out there plays along with you, and you know how this works?
Yes.
Basically. And that's how that works. And how does it work beyond that, Sarah?
People at home who want to play the quiz, pick up the phone and dial 1-800-942-5669,
yeah.
which is also 1-800-WHA-NO or 1-800-WHACK-NOW, mm-hmm. and you ask them a qualifying question.
Were you were in theater, weren't you?
A little bit.
More dance than theater.
More dance than theater, yeah.
yeah.
And
okay.
I could never sing, so.
Yeah.
yeah. Okay. Here I am.
And yet you've done it on our show.
It's true.
Big time, on the way to the big time. Another one. Okay, that's the number to call on. So I ask the question then, don't I?
You do.
So I
yep.
must have it here somewhere. Okay, here's the question, pretty simple. How many toes on a pig? How many toes on a pig?
is the question. You don't have to answer this. Why are you looking so puzzled? You know what a pig is. You know what toes are. That's the question. Easy enough. Let's go to the phones right now. The question is, and they're already on the line here, so they're not even going to have any idea about this. Like Mike Greco here in Radford, Virginia. Did you hear what the question was, Mike, before you called?
Yes. Yeah, well, it wasn't lipstick on a pig, but toes on a pig.
Oh, okay. All right. I apologize for that. You were listening.
Now, is that 1 foot or all 4 feet?
Yeah, not total. We're talking like one pig thing.
1 foot.
1 foot.
Okay, well, I believe they're like three on the front and then one like in the rear, which would total to four.
Sorry, Mike.
More toes on a pig than that?
Yeah, sorry.
Hey, a few months ago I called in and got the answer wrong, too.
Yeah.
But I wanted to say thank you because you connected me with an old student of mine, Kirk Perot in Florida. So
okay.
Thank you, Michael.
Well,
he called me up after he heard me.
Well, keep calling up, keep getting them wrong. You'll meet lots of people. It's like a social thing now for you.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
So I'm connecting with ex-students after 39 years.
Okay. Thanks, Mike.
Okay.
Close,
thank you, Mike.
Close, but no cigar. All right. So Joseph is on the line from Charleston, South Carolina. Hey, Joseph.
How's it going?
Pretty good. Yourself?
I'm doing all right.
You know pigs, Joseph?
Not personally, but...
Yeah. Anything about them? Like how many toes?
If I think about it...
Yeah.
I'm not sure if they're hooved or they have, like, a divided feet.
Uh-huh, okay.
But I'm thinking it's... Are we talking 1 foot or in total?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question. One hoof or whatever it is, but there's toes. But how many do they have?
Well, I've seen them pickled in jars. And I...
Did you ever count the pickled toes?
I'm fairly sure it's two total.
Oh, I'm fairly sure you're wrong.
All right.
Thanks for trying, though.
No problem.
Okay.
Thanks for having me.
Bye. Bruno's on the line from Memphis. Hey, Bruno.
Hello, how are you, sir?
Pretty good. How are you?
So far, so good.
Yeah, I got a big day today planned, or what's going on?
I got to fly to Baltimore later on to take care of some bits.
Do what?
I got to fly to Baltimore later on to take care of some business, and it's a beautiful day to fly. It's clear, it's sunny, and looking forward to a smooth flight.
Yeah, it's just too bad you'll end up in Baltimore.
Well,
just kidding. I love Baltimore. I can almost say it the way they do. Bruno, how many toes on a pig's foot?
I'm going to guess one.
What?
I'm going to guess one.
No.
I mean, I'm going to guess three.
No.
I meant to say four.
Yeah, I know. Better get ready. Get your toiletries in this little quart bag, will you?
I've already done it, but it's not any pig's feet this time, so I didn't get to count.
All right. Well, have a good flight, though, Bruno.
Thank you, my friend. Take care.
I call him Bruni like he's familiar to me. Bye. Harold in Madison, Mississippi. Hey, Harold.
Hey.
How are you? What were you doing there?
Well, I was just talking to my buddy, Fred.
Oh, no. This is not Fred, is it?
Yeah, it is. I had to use my buddy's name, Harold, to get on shore.
Fred
but,
again. Fred has been plaguing me my entire career.
Hey,
I'm pretty good. Pretty good.
Yeah, it looks like the Packers are going to the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah. It's pretty clear. Straight line. Based on the butterfly map, anyhow.
Yeah. So, what have you been up to lately?
Not too much. You?
All right. I've been working. You know, I got this part-time job.
Yeah.
On Saturdays, empty septic tanks and then clean the truck up and go haul milk in the afternoon.
Well, how great for the cows.
Excuse me?
Oh, nothing. All right.
I guess what I say is, I guess what I'm going to say is they got five toes.
Oh, my God, he's even right. This is... All right, if I let you do this, will you leave me alone forever then?
Well, I left you alone for the last year and a half.
I
think the last time I talked to you was in the bathroom at Germantown, Tennessee.
It was?
Yeah,
that was you in the bathroom? Oh, my God. Now I don't feel so bad about it.
Yeah, I remember you were trying to switch the show so I could get mixed up and not make the show, and you finally decided to have it in the theater in Germantown, Tennessee.
That was not me in the bathroom. That was not me in the bathroom. Okay. You confused a man at a urinal there, and you're lucky you got out of that tank.
Okay. Yeah. My mistake.
Okay. All right, Fred, you want to do this now. I'm going to give you, and then you got to start calling Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me after this, okay?
Okay, well, I was going to call Carstock, but they've got repeats all the time, so that's kind of tough.
Yeah, okay. All right, Fred. Fred, this is Sarah.
Hi, Fred.
Hi, Sarah.
This is Fred.
You're from Fond du Lac, eh?
Yeah, eh?
Hey, yeah. Great. Yeah, I used to go ice fishing up there on Lake Winnebago all the time.
Okay, Fred, just keep it, tone it down a little
sorry.
Bit.
Yeah, I'm
little, sorry, little chatty, yeah. Fred. I know it's your thing. But okay, the two of you work as a team right now, or at least Fred, you work as a team. And we have various categories, don't we?
We do. They are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Okay, Fred.
Okay, I haven't paid attention, but is there anything about religion or anything here? Is that one of the categories?
No. Okay, how many years have you been doing this and you don't know what the categories are?
What?
Oh, never mind. What would you like?
Okay. I can't hear either.
Okay, cool.
Go ahead, Sarah, pick one. We'll go with it.
How about odds and ends?
Odds and ends.
All right.
Okay. Yes. Out of 189 channels on the average cable or dish, users have access to, how many do they actually watch? Okay. 3, 7, or 17?
No, sir, I have any idea.
7.
All right, we'll go with that. That sounds pretty good. That's my lucky number.
Yeah, well, it's 17. So much for your lucky number, Fred. It just
well,
goes
really,
to show you.
It was 4.
Yeah.
It was 4 because I guess they're going to retire Brett Favre's number this year. I should have picked 4.
Yeah. Are they? They're going to do it in Lambeau?
Yeah, I think so. I think they finally...
But he's going to be wearing it when they retire it, so that's...
Well, I guess, but it depends if they get his head out of his helmet and get him up there.
Okay, so that would be...
That would be 0 right and 1 wrong.
Okay.
All right.
What remains...
We're on a roll here.
The categories remaining are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school, or science.
Yeah.
What would be the toughest?
Sarah, you want to take this one, too?
I like science.
Science? Is that okay, Fred?
Yeah, that sounds pretty tough.
Okay,
let's
is
go
the
with the toughest one first.
Okay, is the blonde hair gene related to any other inherited trait? We can clear this up once and for all, I think.
Jeez, and I got a tough time playing Wheel of Fortune.
I think the propensity to buy chemicals in boxes is linked to that, but no, that wasn't very good.
No.
I'm going to say no.
He said, she says no, and Fred, or whatever your
I'm
name is. I'm
still wondering what's happening here.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll go with Sarah's answer.
Yes, no is yes. Right. Not
yes
related.
No.
So forget it.
Yes. No.
Totally unrelated.
That's
okay,
one.
Yeah.
No connection.
Hey,
he's really interrupty, this guy, man.
No, it's Fred.
Oh, Fred.
There's really a guy that's named Harold Blue. I want to clear that up. There's a guy that's named Harold Blue.
Okay, you cleared that up. And then, Sarah?
That's one right and one wrong.
Okay.
And the categories remaining are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school.
Okay, Fred?
All right, let's see. I wasn't very good at school, so let's go with the school one.
Okay. According to Merriam-Webster's, what is a Y-O-O-P-E-R? This is from the Merriam-Webster's dictionary. What is a Y-O-O-P-E-R?
I think is someone from Upper Michigan, right?
Oh, the UP?
Yeah.
Okay, Fred?
That's not how you would
say it. Hey, that sounds official to me. I got to go with Sarah's answer.
Yeah, that's a Uper, all right. And it's now in the dictionary, so they actually do exist.
Go, Pat, go!
They spelled it wrong, though.
Uper.
That's 2 right and 1 wrong.
Okay.
Hey, Kelly still making the questions up, or is you got somebody else doing it now?
Yeah, Kelly is related to you, right?
Yeah,
we still get a lot of my stuff. Is
the show going to be on next week up there? Or are you going out of town?
Are you coming?
Yeah, I'll be up there.
We're out of town next week.
Okay, I want to see if I can get a game of washers in with you.
No, we're not going to be here. We're going to be...
Yeah, you'll be somewhere, but not where I can find you. All right. No donuts for me next week.
Okay.
categories?
Did you give the score?
No, I can't remember. Okay. Two right and one wrong.
Fred will do this.
And my short-term memory is getting longer.
And the categories remaining are current events, people, or places.
Yeah. See, Lyle has instructions. I mean, we never screen anyone on our phone screening system because Lyle is doing it.
But Lyle is one. He knows the stuff. I ain't kidding you. I don't care what you say about Lyle. He's okay.
I love Lyle. But he lets you on every time, even though I say, all right, everybody can come on. I don't care if they're drunk or hysterical.
Well,
except for Fred. Because this is what happens when Fred gets on.
Well, how about Cat Stevens? Is he still eligible for the quiz?
Cat Stevens?
Didn't you kick him off a couple of years back?
God. The categories remaining are current events, people,
that
and places.
Cat Stevens, yeah, that went...
Current events, people,
Sarah,
places.
What would you like?
How about places?
Places. Can't
places.
All right, rank these. This is in optimism. They rank states according to optimistic the people were in the states. Okay. We have three Midwestern states here. We got Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Illinois put in rank order of optimism, starting from most.
Well, you got the Minnesota Vikings. They don't have much optimism. I think they're biggest.
Can't go by them, though, can you, Fred?
Well, their smallest room is the trophy room. And the Chicago Bears, well, dang, I think they're going to change their name to the Fighting Okra here.
Yeah.
So what do you think, Sarah?
It's about the people of the state, not the football team.
I think the people from Minnesota would be very optimistic. And then probably
Wisconsin. Is that the witch voice?
Probably Wisconsin. Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Cool.
Then I think Minnesota, Wisconsin, and then Illinois.
Yeah, it's probably the fall stock. All right,
so Minnesota, Wisconsin, there. Illinois?
Yes,
that's exactly right. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Holy
Fred
cow,
and
right?
Sarah win the quiz. And what do they win, Sarah?
Sarah, whether it's memos about décolletage or furthering international misunderstanding, you'll find these and more in Michael Feldman's What Do You Know? Test your knowledge with the ultimate collection of amazing trivia, quizzes, stories, fun facts, and everything else you never knew you wanted to know from source books. Fred, make every day a quiz-winning summer solstice with Stephen Brew's Breakfast Blend, and make the best of lingering twilight with rich and tasty Costa Rican Terasu from Madison's Stephen Brew Coffee, which is coffee done right. And both of you can go back 10 years and relive the thrills of the 2004 Indianapolis 500 with a DVD packed with bonus material and features, and stay in the moment playing What Do You Know the Party Game, including the classic Michael Feldman bobblehead from Out of the Box Publishing, available exclusively at notmuch.com. Congratulations to you both.
Nice.
Thank
you. Nice
job, Sarah. Fred, as always.
Well, hey, good night, everybody. Bye. Good night.
All right.
Hi, Harold.
You're the guy, Fred.
Lyle Kelly.
Yeah, okay, thanks. I got you. I put you on hold there so Lyle can get your data from you like he doesn't have it already. Okay, little band number is what I'm thinking.
I think that sounds great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What do you feel like doing? Nothing.
Oh, here's one that I wrote.
Oh, okay then.
Yeah. Hey, it's called Probably Not.
What Do You Know returns to Monona Terrace for a live show next week. Keep up to date on What Do You Know fun and check in on guest and show information over at notmuch.com. Stick around, Michael welcomes funny lady and commentator Paula Poundstone next hour, plus more of the What Do You Know quiz. Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced by Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI, Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, producer international. This is PRI, Public Radio International. Welcome back to an encore presentation of Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on piano and Jeff Hammond on bass with Sarah Nix announcing. In this hour of What Do You Know, Michael laughs along with comedian and commentator Paula Poundstone. Plus, thanks for the memos and another round of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
And now, the man who's locked into a battle unto death with Creeping Charlie, it's Michael Feldman.
Oh, yeah. Once you start, you can't stop. What a successful weed Creeping Charlie is, isn't it? Hard to beat. It's hard to beat. How many of you have battled Creeping Charlie? Oh, you'll have to applaud because we're on radio and they can't see that. See, I'm not alone in this. And then it gets obsessive. You know, it gets obsessive compulsive. It's like instead of cutting yourself, you go out and pull Creeping Charlie. At any rate, you know, each week at this time we read actual memos. And then you look out your window, all you see are the patches of Creeping Charlie, you know, hitting ones that you conquered a short patch. But, you know, you got to keep at it, because they'll fill that in overnight. Charlie will. Yes, some actual memos. Well, this is not so much a memo, but this was posted, so we'll count this just as a plus, a bonus. Somewhere in at a conference center in West Virginia. Ripley, if you must know. Just a notice I put up, which is rather nice. It says, persons with an unclean or revealing bathing suit, blisters, open sores, under the influence of alcohol or drugs, persons with communicable disease, suffering from fever, cough, cold, inflammation of the eyes, nasal, or ear discharges, or any communicable disease will not be permitted in the pool area. Well thought out. Now, this is the actual memo, I believe. Yeah. Well, maybe there's a couple. We have a backlog of memos. This one's good, though. Posted at my mom's apartment building by the elevators. More fire alarm testing on Monday, 9 a.m. There will be more fire alarm testing on Monday beginning at 9 a.m. I just said that. Unfortunately, the testing last Friday was not successful. The testing will require us to enter all units again, and there will be the usual noise of the alarms. I'm sure everyone is tired of the disruption and noise of this project. I know I am. However, we have to get through this. For those of you who were naked when we came to your unit on Friday, please note that we are starting an hour later on Monday for your convenience and modesty. Thank you so much for that memo, and we'll leave it at that. That was a good one. I can't believe more than one person was naked. That's what kind of a unit is that? And where can they send those memos?
They can send them to whatdoyouknow@wpr.org with the subject line memos, or go to notmuch.com and post it there.
Right, and if you have any corrections or complaints or accolades about the show, particularly Sarah, of course, send them the same place, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you can put them in an envelope if you know what to do
you
with
can.
That.
You can.
Some
yep.
younger people don't.
Yes, if there are stamps available, you can send it to 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706.
Yeah.
Care of What Do You Know? Thanks for the mail.
It's nice to get mail.
It is.
Once in a while, you know? You okay? Anything I can do? That's from that camping, see? You inhaled something in that camper there. Or did you? Okay, never mind. Paula Poundstone is joining us now. She's in Chicago currently. She's going to be in Des Moines, I believe, tonight. So she's got to get a move on pretty shortly, I would think. Hi, Paula. How are you?
Good.
Really nice to speak with you.
Well, I enjoyed the memos.
Wasn't much, but it was something, you know. I have about 10,000 of them. This started like years ago when some guy who was working for the state of Wisconsin went fishing with his beeper. That's how long ago it was. He had a beeper, and his beeper fell over the dam. And he had to do a memo explaining why the beeper went in the dam there, you know, his official beeper. And so I said, this is great. More memos. So that's my career, basically, in a nutshell.
And then all of this sprang from that?
All this sprang from that.
Wow. Just goes to show you. The first time you lose your beeper over a waterfall, you think nothing's going to come of it.
I know. And yet so much has.
Exactly.
So
now
much.
Now people are just throwing their beepers over a waterfall, hoping.
Yeah.
You know.
Hoping for a little attention.
Yeah, exactly. It has to happen organically, though. People don't realize. You can't force a beeper out of
no.
your boat.
You can sort of ease them out of your pocket. I don't. Who wears beepers anymore, though? They're pretty. And in fact, the memos you used to get were all mimeographed. Those ones the boss used to mimeograph and send around.
Oh, so sure.
We've come along.
I there were kids in my elementary school that used to like the smell of the mimeograph paper.
Yeah. Well, I was a teacher, and we loved it back in the mimeograph.
Yeah. You guys were just in there sniffing?
Yeah. It was in the teacher's lounge, a mimeograph machine. And there is something about it. I think it's the ether.
Did you find a lot of times you would print out worksheets for the kids that was on material you hadn't even gone over just so that you could smell the mimeograph paper?
Yeah, yeah. Kids, yeah. Let's look this over, huh?
Did you have my elementary kids going, like, but teacher, we haven't done calculus. Doesn't matter.
Yeah. Well, you know,
we were
supposed to be doing lesson plans, but I must say that I never really conquered the idea of a lesson plan when I was teaching. Like, you plan a lesson? What is that?
Well, you would just let it happen more organically?
Yeah, organically.
Yeah. Like, say if a kid fall down, you would go, okay, let me explain why that happened.
Pretty much. You know, you got to deal with
it. Gravity right there. Because the gravity?
Because then you're dealing more with reality than just school, you know. You're dealing with contingencies of what to do when something happens, and that's useful in life.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So I was noticing the other day that you did something in L.A. at a Jewish organization there, and I was thinking, Poundstone, Poundstein? Are you perhaps Jewish? Was it originally Poundstein?
It was originally Fundenstein, but I don't think they were Jewish.
Oh, that's interesting, though.
I mean, it's never been communicated to me, anyways, that they were. Yeah, Fundenstein was that when my father's people came over on the boat, they were Fundenstein.
Fundensteins.
Which they thought wasn't lyrical, and they changed it to Poundstone.
Yeah, okay.
Very attractive.
Well, a lot of Jewish people became English suddenly, too, when they arrived here, so that they're...
I suppose it's a possibility. I never... Like when they do, like, you know, when you see a commercial for Ancestry.com, and yeah. I never care. The last thing I want to do is find people that are related to me, I can tell you that.
Yeah. Right, I know.
I know the women on my mother's side of the family all chewed snuff, so I just feel that it's not going to be happy news.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
They always had to have a can with them while they dribbled their disgusting snuff into the can. And my grandmother would say, "No, kick my can over." And I'm like, No. Even as a kid, you knew not to do that. Because if you did kick over a snuff can, you had to move to another house.
Yeah. Why? What was it like?
It's because it's repulsive. It's tobacco in their mouth. They would hold it under their lower lip.
Yeah.
Between their gum and their lower lip.
Yeah.
And then they talk like that. Because they have to hold it with their tongue. I come from a long line of morons.
Well, it's snuff, that's a southern thing. Did you grow up in Huntsville? Where you're from, Huntsville, Alabama?
I was born in Huntsville. No, I didn't grow up there. We used to vacation there.
Oh.
But it's funny because in the summer, you know, anybody who could, I'm sure, got out, but we went there.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was always like a long line of traffic going the other way. And even as kids, we'd say, "Dad, isn't that weird that everyone else is leaving and we're going?"
Yeah. So you went to Massachusetts from?
My father was getting his job in Massachusetts the night I was born in Alabama.
Oh.
And so I was, I only actually lived there for a month in Houston. In Huntsville, not Houston, Huntsville. And then I get all the H, sometimes I say Hungary, I get it all mixed up. I'm not that good with the geography. So I was raised in a small town in Massachusetts, a colonial town.
Yeah.
So they said.
Which one was that?
Sudbury, Massachusetts.
Oh, Sudbury, that's right.
Yeah. It's a beautiful place, actually. It really is. You've got woods and intelligence.
Just coming out of the woods, right?
Out of the trees.
There's just
smart people there.
Smart.
It's nice.
It even sounds smart. Sudbury sounds smart.
It really is. I mean, they embraced the crepe soul there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the women there embraced the crepe soul because they're sensible women. You know what I mean?
The crepe soul.
the Crick Soul. I don't know if you guys, you maybe for you, maybe for you, the 70s have come and gone, but not for me.
The crepe sole.
The crepe sole was very big in the 70s, and it was a, you know, you don't, there's no such thing as a high heel crepe sole.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a low to the ground, you know, it's for people who might go into the woods, kind of a sole for like a working shoe.
Exactly, sensible. My mom would call sensible shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, wear your sensible shoes.
Yeah.
My
she would
say.
Yeah. We only had two kinds of shoes. We had regular shoes and Sunday school shoes.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. Did the women wear ties in Sudbury? Was that where that came from?
No.
No.
They did not. And a lot of them, you know, just can't figure out why I would.
Yeah.
That's like, whoa, to Sudbury people.
Yeah.
She's kind of a little
when you
crazy,
first,
aren't
you? You first showed up in town with a tie, and then they made them think, I bet.
I can't even wear it within the town limits. You got to wait till I get to Framingham to put my tie on.
I love it. And, but Sudbury High there, or Sudbury Lincoln High, or whatever it was, right?
Yeah, it was Lincoln Sudbury Regional High.
Yeah,
yes.
Regional.
Joined together. Sudbury was very lucky to have Lincoln because Lincoln really was the brains of the operation.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a good high school, though. You know, I didn't much go to classes.
No.
But just being in the building seemed to help.
But isn't that where, because I read a little of your bio, and said, and that's when she, at Sudbury Lincoln, or Lincoln Sudbury, whichever it comes first, it's when she dropped out of high school and decided to go into show business.
Well, that's not exactly true.
No, not exactly.
No, I petered out of high school. I never made a conscious decision like that I'm, you know, that I'm quitting and I'm, you know, I'm fording this stream on my own. It wasn't like that at all.
No.
I was a very depressed youth. And you know, looking back, because I have kids, I have a 16-year-old boy at home, and it's a punishment, really. it's a horrible thing. I don't know why nature would have even created such a thing. All that testosterone. And I've done some research on this topic out of frustration, really.
Yeah.
And it turns out that boys' frontal lobes don't come in until between 25 and 30. And that's... Sometimes I look at him while he's sleeping, and there's like an indentation there. Like, it hasn't even begun to develop in him, you know? Like the skull has just recently provided a spot.
I see, interesting.
Yeah, his skull was softer for longer than it's supposed to be, I think. But the frontal lobe, as you probably know, is the organization part. And so I realized, sadly, that I had been holding him throughout his life, really, to too high a standard, because I thought he should know what the hell he's doing, and it turns out he can't. Like, he has no idea.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It just occurs to me. So we just have this very fractious, like, he never knows anything, and he doesn't write his assignments down, and he argues constantly. And everything, he never can admit he's wrong. Everything that comes up, he goes, he'll go, there's hydrochloric acid in Coke. And I'll go, well, no, there's not. I mean, it's not good for you, but it's not hydrochloric acid. And he'll go, What a bet.
But it's because his lobes haven't descended yet. That's all it is.
Yeah, I'm not sure where the betting thing comes from. It's as if he's been raised in the back room of the Golden Nugget. I'm not a gambler. We don't gamble in our house. I don't know where that came from. But everything now is like high stakes, you know. He'll go like, you know, I'll say, hey, can you get the drinks for dinner? And he'll go, what do you want? I'll go, a water. And he'll go, want a bet? I'm not even sure I see what you would bet on there, honey.
What's the smart money on the beverage for dinner?
Yeah, I know what beverage I want. But it occurs to me that, you know, the teenage years are just, it's random because my middle daughter isn't like that at all.
Yeah.
She seems to have sailed through.
Yeah.
And I was a miserable wretch of a teenager. I just think the chemistry of misery in teenage years is very, very random. And it's not circumstantial. Because I look back on some of my behaviors and I realize now they were cry for help.
Help
from what? I can't figure out.
Yeah.
Help! I go to a fairly good school in a beautiful town in New England, and I'm safe, and I have a roof over my head. I don't understand where I wanted help from.
Yeah.
It's just, it's chemical. That's what it is. You know, it's yeah. just, you know.
And lobes. You know, it's lobes. Have, lobes and chemistry.
You have the lobe. Yeah, you have the lobe or you don't. You know, the great thing is, if you put like a slit on the side of his forehead, yeah. you can store an extra pair of underwear in there.
Yeah. That's a pleasant thought right there.
Yeah. Well, if the lobe isn't going to come in, you don't want to waste the space.
Yeah. And with the girl, you're saying with the girls, it's been totally different. They have the lobes early.
No, my oldest daughter has no lobe. No lobe at all. She's got no lobe. Oh. My oldest daughter, the way I describe my relationship with my oldest daughter, who is 23 now, in fairness, and I always say that ship has sailed. in truth, it's stuck on a sandbar not too far offshore. but when I walk by, I just don't look up, and that seems to be the best. She left home on Mother's Day. Uh-huh. That just gives you an idea.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think there was a message there.
Yeah.
Yeah. When somebody leaves home on Mother's Day, I think there's a message there. And the message isn't M is for the many things you've told me. I drove her 17 hours up to college, my middle kid, and I realized I can't do that every day. And so I just left her.
You just left her at college?
Yeah.
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 How's she doing though? Is she adapted to?
Oh, she's doing. She goes to college in Portland, Oregon, and she's become a vegan because that's what happens.
Yeah.
when your kid goes to school in Portland, Oregon, and you know, I'm really proud of her because the truth is, she eats a plant-based diet for reasons of conscience, and she's absolutely right. Mm-hmm. So there's no dairy. There's no white sugar. There's no food, really. But, I mean, she's home for the summer, and I'm so happy to have her back, but I can't feed her. I'll make dinner for me and Thomas, and she'll just suck on a wicker chair. I feel bad about it, but I don't know what to do about it. Do you know what I mean?
I feel bad for the chair, too. I mean, really, that wicker is is old.
It's destroyed some of our nicest furniture.
Yeah.
She made me buy cat food that wasn't tested on animals. My cat took one bite and they went, "Did no one test it?"
Oh, and you still got the cats, though. Do you have, like, less than a dozen?
I have more than a dozen cats.
Do you? Really?
Yeah. It's, you know, people say I'm a crazy cat woman. I'm not, because I also have two German Shepherd mixed dogs.
Yeah. So that narrows the field a little bit as far as the cats go.
If you just had 16 cats, you might well be a crazy cat woman, but if you also have two German Shepherd mixed dogs, then you're an animal lover.
You're right. It's entirely different.
Yeah. The dogs are just beards, really.
They're beards.
I'll tell you something. Once you get 16, a lot of the love goes out of it. I'm just saying. I realized the other day my cats would actually get pet more if they were in a shelter.
Yeah.
They probably long to go back to the shelter. They're like, wait, I was happy in that little cage.
Well, do people drop cats off at your door? I imagine they would, knowing, you know, if they...
No, they don't. But, you know, people do have the nerve occasionally to say to me, like, oh, you know, we have a kitten. Would you like another? I'm like, what? No, I don't want another. Have I not done enough? My entire life is... Like right now, I'm in a conference room the United Club at the Chicago airport, and it's stark and cold, and I'm so happy here because I'm not shifting with it.
A little bit of heaven in the conference room.
Yeah, I had to come to because I didn't know where. Because I was going to be in the airport, the people that, you know, like my manager and, you know, said to me, well, could you go to a quiet place in the airport? She doesn't travel. So I'm like, no, there is a quiet place in the
airport. Your manager sounds like you. It's amazing.
Well, we're very similar. We've worked together for a long time.
Yeah.
There's no quiet place in the airport.
No.
When you talk on the phone, there's constantly the loop thing, especially in the Chicago airport, where they keep telling everyone to wash their hands. They have a recording. They have a recording in the Chicago airport of somebody saying, you know, when you use the restroom, wash your hands.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell's wrong with people in Chicago?
That they have to be told.
Yeah, it makes a little creepy. It makes you a little suspect of anything you eat here. You know, that there's people, and if you stand by the ladies room, you'll see people coming out, and then they hear the loop, and they walk back in. Yeah. And they're constantly making announcements here. There was one that said, for those of you over 50 who have not yet had a colonoscopy, please report to the TSA. You know, there's an invasive quality.
Yeah, I would
point.
Say at that point it's very invasive.
There's an invasive quality about the Chicago airport that I don't like.
But traveling in general is not the fun it used to be when you could take those Greyhound buses across America to all your gigs and so forth.
I loved the dog, I got to tell you, man. I was happy on a Greyhound bus. I really was. You know, you look out the window. There's no movie. I like that.
See America passing.
And there's no club. There's no club at the Greyhound station.
There is, but it's in the restroom, I think.
Yeah. The fourth stall. Yeah. Exactly right. And nobody tells you to wash your hands at the Greyhound station.
They don't talk to you at all, actually.
No, you do. Yeah. You wash your hands instinctively at the Greyhound station. Yeah. You know, it's a life or death thing there.
Yeah. It's common sense. Just common sense, which everyone's supposed to have.
I really did used to when I was young, when I first started out.
Yeah.
I think when I was 19 years old, I did used to buy what they called an AmeriPass on Greyhound.
Yeah.
Where you could go anywhere you wanted for $150 for a month. So I lived on the Greyhound bus. What I would do is, if I wanted to go to, say, Denver, I couldn't afford to stay in Denver. So I would take the bus to the Denver bus station, get off the bus, and I lived in Massachusetts at the time. I'd get off the bus, look at the schedule, find a location, a destination that was 4 hours away. I would find what time the bus was leaving, what was the last bus out to that destination.
Yeah.
I would then check my luggage in the locker and then go out and hang out in Denver for the day. And at the time of the departure of the bus for the place that was 4 hours away, I would come back, get on that bus, travel 4 hours, get off the bus, travel back to Denver, and in this way I got my 8 hours sleep. I did that for quite a while, actually. And back then, they used to have, you know, there were fancy Greyhound stations. They were ones where they had a cafeteria.
Oh, they did.
Like where you, where you slid your tray, and there were different dishes that you could. I mean, a lot of it wasn't good. That's not my point.
Yeah. Was it a jail or was it a cafeteria in the bus station? They slid the tray through the door.
No, the cafeteria slid the tray. No, not a jail. What an odd travel story that would be.
Well, vagrancy. You might get vagrancy for the, you know.
You're thinking I'm Otis or something. Stay the night at the jail, and then Andy and Barney would let me out, and I'd head out. No, that's a different story.
Different story entirely.
Yeah. No,
but it's pretty much true. Isn't it true when you decided to be a comedian, if you ever decided that or not, that you took the Greyhound and did open mics around the country? Is that pretty much true or not? Is that part
of it? Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
What do you mean is that true? You think any of the things I've just told you aren't true?
No. I'm saying this.
You think my son really has a funnel robe and I'm bragging that he doesn't?
Not at all. I really don't.
Yeah, you think my daughter left home on
Father's Day?
Good
terms? No.
Yeah. Right.
No.
Yeah.
No.
You thought she hugged me and promised to do well and come back and visit? No, I don't like that at all.
Kids.
You think that I have a Walton-esque life that I've purposely covered up for comedic reasons?
No, I wasn't thinking that. I was just saying, I was saying like this thing about you're quitting high school to go into show business. That wasn't accurate, so I thought maybe there's been...
No, that was not accurate. Yeah. No, that really was not accurate. That was why I was clearing up that inaccuracy. No, I was a miserable wretch of a child, and I just sort of started not going to classes.
Yeah.
It wasn't any kind of a like pronouncement that now I'm ready to be on my own or I'm some great adventure seeker. I really just sort of petered out in the most miserable of ways. And then eventually, no, I was bussing tables for a living.
Yeah.
And then I lived in Boston where there was the very beginning of a stand-up open mic night scene, and I joined in.
Yeah. So comedy was your way out of all that, out of those feelings or out of the whole thing?
I suppose.
Yeah.
You know.
I don't want to get too psychological here. I'm sorry.
No, I love that. Comedy was my way out of those feelings. I drank as well.
Well, there's more than one way to skin a cat, as we say, even 16 of them.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, so few people come out to see you drink. That's what I find.
Yeah. One night only. I would, though. I think that would be great. That'd be a great night. That'd be a terrific night.
Yeah, not as entertaining as you might have thought.
No, okay. And so now, you know, but a lot of what you do is topical. And do you find that the times make it hard to do topical humor? I mean, these are I stopped watching the evening news, for one thing.
Oh, it's horrible now.
Yeah.
It really is horrible.
Yeah.
Well, you know, CNN has stopped even covering the news. It's gotten so bad.
Yeah.
Here's what I want to say to CNN.
Yeah.
When you find the Malaysian airliner, let us know. Until then, mum's the word. What do you say? I was watching one morning. I was unpacking in a hotel, and I just flicked the TV on for company, you know, because the hotel room gets kind of quiet.
Sure.
And it was a weekend one, so it was Don Lemon. And he says into the camera, he says, you know, the head liquor guy for the Malaysian airliner is going to do a press conference in just a couple of minutes, any minute now. He then turns to the guy beside him, who is the CNN expert on the topic, and he goes, what do you think he'll say? And I just, you know, Don, we can wait. That's all right. Hum or something. Just, you know, do you do Cat's Cradle with String? We can watch that. Just, you don't need to speculate. Yeah, at one point they were really bearing down hard on the possibility that Elian Gonzalez had been the pilot of the Malaysian Airlines. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why I do this, but I look sometimes at the CNN website, and the stories that they cover. The other day I saw one that said, Courtney Cox turned 50. That's a story?
Surprising.
Apparently CNN was there. Apparently she woke up on the morning of her birthday with a camera right there, just watching the whole process.
Yeah. Trying to get out of bed. That'd be a good shot. Courtney trying to get out of bed at 50.
Courtney Cox turns 50.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then do you watch...
Film at 11.
Yeah. Do you watch Fox at all? Because that's a whole different experience as well.
No, I can't. I can't because it makes me too angry. I just can't do it. You know, the truth is, I don't even really enjoy MSNBC. it's more to my, you know, political leanings, but it's so like Fox in that it's all these people telling themselves that they're right.
Yeah.
And it's just too, you know, it's too entertainment and not news. And it bothers me. I don't think it helps our discourse sometimes, you know?
No, I agree.
And it's so incestuous. You know, one time I'm watching, and Andrea Mitchell apparently has a show on there, which I didn't even know.
No.
And so it was the tail end of her show, and they do this thing where the person who has the next show coming up comes on. And so Andrea Mitchell says, like, what's the... Oh, you know, say it was Rachel Maddow. Maybe it was or maybe it wasn't. But Andrea Mitchell goes, okay, well, thank you for joining me today. I had a wonderful time. Thank you so much.
I'll see you again tomorrow. And we got coming up Rachel Maddow. And then Rachel Maddow appears there. And she goes, Rachel Maddow, you know, boy, what are you going to talk about today? Rachel Maddow says what she's going to talk about. She says, well, that is wonderful. And Rachel Maddow says, well, great job, Andrew Mitchell. And Andrew Mitchell says, well, thank you, Rachel Maddow. And you have a good show. And Rachel Maddow says, well, your show was fantastic today, Andrew Mitchell. And Andrew Mitchell says, well, thank you, Rachel Maddow. That's really great. And I hope to see you soon. And finally, the camera focuses just on Rachel Maddow. And Rachel Maddow says, okay, coming up, my first interview today is with Andrew Mitchell. I'm like, do you just seal the studio off when you go in there? Do you bring anybody else in?
Yeah. 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 I see what you mean by incestuous. Yeah, that's exactly.
It's a little incestuous, and you just feel, you know, and Andrew Mitchell says, well, Rachel Maddow, you're right about everything, and Rachel Maddow says, well, I think you're right about everything too, Andrew Mitchell. I'm just not sure that's healthy.
No, it's not good for critical thinking, perhaps.
That's exactly my feeling. Say America does develop lobes. And this is out there, but say we do.
Yeah.
I think we need to use them more, that's all.
Yeah,
you
use them lobes.
Yeah, use your lobes.
And I don't know how you feel about the next election cycle, but some of the people from the last one are already popping up again, Mitt and all these people. And I'm a little depressed by the whole prospect of going through this all again. How do you feel?
Oh, my God. I feel the exact same way.
Yeah.
It was heinous. And what I like Hillary Clinton. It's not that I dislike her, and she probably has been very tempered and educated by having been Secretary of State. I don't think that's a bad experience to have had going into, you know, the presidency. But what was the thing? We were dead broke when we left the White House. Like, oh, don't say that. Just don't say that. What are you talking about? In a country where people are unemployed, how can you even say that? Yeah, we were dead broke. Apparently they cut her off before she said, but then Bill spoke once and made a million. We were dead broke the day we left the White House, but the following day, we were flush.
We were flush,
Just
keep talking. Just
It's not, those kinds of things I don't think I don't think it sort of would make or break a presidency, but it, as they say in political analysis, it was a little bit tone deaf. But I'll tell you, the Republican primary last time was, if we have to live through that again, I don't know that I can. It was so like, each one of them, what was really peculiar about it, it was almost choreographed.
Yeah.
Because each one of them had sort of a moment in the sun. There was every single one of them. I mean, I think from the beginning it was like, well, it's going to be Mitt Romney, right? That's going to be the nominee. But during the course of the entire thing, each of those candidates had at least a week, maybe two, maybe more, where it was like, well, no, it's going to be this guy. We thought it was Romney, but it's going to be, it started out with Michelle Bachmann.
Yeah.
Remember? They even put her face on the cover of Newsweek because they thought everybody needed to know who she was. And remember the Newsweek photographer got popped for putting a nutty picture of her? Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
Which seemed unfair. Because a photographer can only wait so long. And then it was just one after the other. It was like watching a front-loading dryer.
Yeah.
You know, they would be up there for a few seconds, and then, like, a sweatshirt would knock them off.
Yeah. Pair of shoes could have killed them, really, in the dryer. Pair of sneakers.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Who was the last one, Rick? Santorum.
Santorum, yeah.
He was the last one to make like a real run at it. And they were exhausted and they went on forever. And he kept saying that he was against. He's the kind of candidate I don't like because I don't like people to tell you what to do with your personal life. And he kept saying he was against contraception. But then he kept wearing that sweater vest. Yeah, which I thought it was a mixed message.
Benefit of the doubt on that one, anyhow.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. We have to get another viable Democrat, I think, though, to...
Yeah.
I don't like the idea of anybody running unchallenged anyways.
Yeah.
I think we need another viable Democrat. I don't...
I don't know who it is.
Yeah, someone with lobes.
It's got to be somebody with a lobe, and that already knows the field.
Yeah. Maybe Bill could come back somehow. We could...
Did
you see that, by the way, that Bill Clinton now is the most number one president for the past 25 years in popularity?
Wow, no, I did not. I'll tell you, when he made that speech for Barack Obama a couple of years ago, afterwards, man, he was so great. I mean, I wanted a Clinton lunchbox and a Clinton pencil box. And a Clinton backpack. I mean, he was unbelievable. He was just on fire.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And this from a guy who didn't even care for him that much.
No, but these things shift.
Yeah, these did.
these alliances shift. Keep in mind, he was poor for a while, and so he was just...
That makes a difference in your thinking.
Yeah, he was just on survival mode.
I know,
You know, he couldn't be garnering friendships.
He was living speech to speech.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He was living $1 million to $1 million engagement. And that's hard. People don't realize.
Oh, Paula, speaking of people, your people want me to remind people that you're going to be in Des Moines tonight.
And yes.
That you're going. Do you know all about Des Moines now? You've been there many times, I'm sure. But
I've been to Des Moines, sure.
Do you like study up on Des Moines? Do you try to become Des Moines before you go there? Do you...
No, not at all.
No.
Every interview I do, this happens for every town I go to, but it seems like it's happened a lot with Des Moines. Like I'll do like an interview with the Des Moines Register, and the first question is, have you been here before? And I always say, yeah, sure, I have been to Des Moines before. And they go, what do you remember about Des Moines? And, the answer is absolutely nothing.
Then you have been there. That's great.
That's no reflection on Des Moines at all.
No.
It's just the way I travel. I don't, I get in, I have enough time to eat and shower and tell my little jokes.
Sure.
And then I fly out on the first flight out. So it's not really,
So you could be anywhere, really. But it is
exactly.
Des Moines. Yes.
Yeah.
And it's easy to confuse with Ames as well, I find, sometimes. I don't know if I'm Ames or Des Moines.
Similarities.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty close.
Very similar. I find Ohio a very misunderstood state in general. Ohio is actually a very intelligent state. The people there are very well read and very, very nice.
Yeah.
But I can't say is that,
Ohio or Iowa?
I know. Well, the other day I was on the radio there, being interviewed on the radio, and they while you're waiting for them to interview you, that you're listening to the show on the phone.
Right.
And so they had just talked about some stories coming up, and one of the stories coming up was the furor over the new legislation no longer allowing wooden barrels in cheese making.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, here, too. That was big here, too. There was a lot of uproar about that.
Was there furor about that?
Yeah, I think there was some... Some furor.
Wow.
A little bit of furor.
Yeah.
From cheese makers,
What's the downside of a wooden barrel in cheese making?
I think you pretty much need one to get that mold going, don't you? Is what I'm thinking.
I don't know. I there's no other way of generating mold?
Well, otherwise, you just got to inject it. I'm not a cheesemaker. I don't know, but I think
you recognize that there's a furor.
Yes, I can feel the furor.
Yeah. Never occurred to you to turn to some angry looking cheesemaker and say, what's wrong?
No. He knows what's wrong, and
this is where we need to support one another.
I support him. I totally support him.
Many mental health problems in our country is that we don't, when we see someone infuriated over the banning of wooden barrels and cheese making, we don't turn to them and say, are you okay?
Are you okay? You're right. You were right.
We don't turn and understand their side of the story.
I know. You're right.
What is it about the wood barrel that you need?
Yeah, exactly. Okay, you're right.
If you don't use a wood barrel, what else do you use, by the way?
Yeah. Are you asking me now or the cheesemaker?
No, I'm asking you.
I have no idea.
Trust me,
talk to the cheesemakers.
No, I have talked to them, but never about this.
No, and, you know, if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem.
Okay. Thanks, Paula.
You gotta reach out to the cheesemakers.
Yeah.
Aren't you in Madison?
Yes, we are. We're in Madison here.
Well, then how come you don't know about this?
Your point is well taken. If somewhat repetitious at this point. But I definitely think you're right about that. We should.
Isn't the name of the show, What Do You Know?
You have to call it something. No, it's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, so I don't care.
Wait, don't tell me about cheese.
Yeah, don't tell me about wooden cheese things.
I just can't believe that you haven't informed yourself when it's all around you.
I'm sorry. We are knee-deep in cheese here, and I haven't even thought about it. You take it for granted, I think.
Yeah, not right.
Yeah.
Not right at all. We do, we do need to reach out to one another.
We do.
It's very important.
We do.
We can't, you know.
Thank you for that, Paul.
Yeah. No, we do. We need each other.
Yeah.
We have to stop texting, first of all.
It's
not healthy in any way, and it's creating a lot of misunderstanding.
I agree.
I don't text. I don't believe in it at all.
I've seen you on Twitter, though.
Well, I do Twitter, but I'm not going to text people. I'm going to talk to them, for heaven's sake.
Yeah.
If you're going to dial the number anyway, wouldn't you just talk to them?
I know.
Wouldn't you just... You know, and people say, "Well, I don't like to talk." Well, that's just okay. And now you're going to have emotional problems.
Yeah, as a result.
Yeah, no question in my mind.
Yeah.
My daughter Ellie. She one day my phone made a funny noise, and she said, "Mom, someone's texting you." And I use a flip phone, and so I said. I go, well, then it's nobody who knows me if they're texting me, and she showed me how to return a text.
Uh-huh.
On a flip phone.
Yeah.
Like if you want to use the letter C, you push the 1 3 times really fast. Why would anyone do that?
No. Well, they don't have to do that anymore. You need a new phone, though. I mean, you don't.
What are we, hostages? Why would we do that? I would rather bloody my knuckles tapping code on a cement wall than
text. Point is well made, again. I mean, it's not for everyone, and my daughters, for example, I have a daughter, Ellie, too, and my other daughter, Nora. My daughter, Nora, grew up where she had the phone, and it was never for talking on. I don't think she ever used the phone actually to physically speak with someone else on it. It was not really a phone for her. It was a texting device. So
yes,
that's a different outlook.
I just don't think I don't think it's healthy for us.
It's not healthy,
And
no.
I think there's no question, based on the heinous news that comes to us every day,
yeah.
I think there is no question that our country is in a mental health crisis. And you know what? And we started down this hideous slide when all this silly, stupid technology came our way.
Yeah.
My son is, he has, what do you call it? He has internet addiction.
Uh-huh.
And,
he does, yeah.
I sought help for him, and it turns out there is a support group online.
That's not ironic. What do you mean?
Yeah. That's how sick they are.
Yeah.
That they're like, okay, we'll do it online and that'll help. There's a national denial going on about the video game thing in particular.
I agree.
It's awful. It's just awful. And by the way,
yeah.
The PowerPoint presentation is the enemy of education and intelligent oration.
Stamp them out. I agree. Stamp them out.
Man. I cannot stand the PowerPoint. If a kid's going to do a presentation, what's wrong with a poster board propped up on a chair that falls halfway through?
We did it.
I love that.
We did it. Paula, we got to run now. I'm afraid I have to let you go and sit there in your relative calm.
Don't I?
Yeah, at some point. You know when it leaves?
I gotta go talk to the cheesemakers in Des Moines.
Yeah. I wouldn't bring this up at all. I wouldn't bring this up at all.
No, I'm gonna get to the bottom of
this. All right, bring it up.
I gotta text you and tell you what it's about.
Thank you, Paula Poundstone. It was great.
So nice talking with you.
Great talking to you. Paula Poundstone, ladies and gentlemen. Catch her tonight in Des Moines.
You're listening to Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI Public Radio International. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, it's Michael Feldman.
Wait a minute, Paula Poundstone called us back, and she there's a few things that she wanted to add. Okay, so we ran out of audience time here, so I'm sorry. You'll have to all come back because I want to meet you all individually and ask you what's going on with you in case it's something cheese-related or text-related or internet anything. However, we have a chance to play another round of the What Do You Know quiz. Here's your big chance now. Who among you did you... Okay. Who wouldn't pick him, huh? Look at him. We got to pick you. And you are?
Greg.
Greg, are you from around here, Greg?
No, New Jersey.
Oh, that's right, New Jersey. Greg, give me a good reason for playing the quiz.
Oh, I came all the way from New Jersey.
Came all the way from New Jersey. What a better, I can't imagine a better reason. Have a seat there if you would. Get you a fresh water. Here, that water is, that's the old water. Here's a new water right down here. This is right off the space shuttle. There you go. So it's pure as it gets. Pretty pure. Greg.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what are you doing these days, Greg?
I'm a doctor.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
So you're doing that these days, huh?
Yeah.
What kind of doctor are you?
I'm a neuroradiologist.
Is that a doctor, really?
Yeah, yes. Indeed it is.
You do read the x-rays? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, specialized in imaging of the head, neck, and spine.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
Does that ever give you a neck ache? Am I looking at all those?
Not really.
No. Yeah. And yeah, this is in New Jersey? Whereabouts?
Yeah, I live in Bellmead. That's right by Princeton.
Right outside of Princeton. Yep. Yeah. Do they ever invite you into Princeton when you're out?
Yeah,
there?
Actually, I practice in Princeton.
Oh, you do? Yeah. Really? So you get a good clientele there.
Yeah, yeah. Part of Princeton Radiology Associates, yeah.
Okay, all right. So that'd be a good thing to get into there.
Yeah.
Be hard to get into your practice there? Okay, you got any openings for a guy who's
not
have
right
to
now.
Go to all yeah. the.
Got a long time, a lot of education.
Yeah, take 8-10 years, probably. I could be there in 10 years. Can you wait? This sounds like a thing. Plus, radiology is like the best thing, isn't it?
Because it's
you
know, good. It's,
you don't
it's
get your hands
field.
Dirty.
No, you do sometimes. But, yeah, it's a good field to be in.
Really?
Yeah.
What, do you have to operate on the x-rays?
No, but you do procedures.
Retouch
you
know, the x-rays, I suppose,
yeah,
something like
there's
that.
There's some blood and stuff. Yeah, there's sometimes.
Oh, okay. Sounds great.
Do procedures.
And for kicks, though, what do? Are you a golfer? Are you a
hiker,
swimmer,
biker.
Are you a hiker?
Outdoors. Biking mostly.
You take long biking treks and
yeah,
do you?
Yeah, sometimes.
Where do you trek to?
In New Jersey, just sort of locally, 30-40 miles. It's a nice country to around there.
New Jersey's a country.
Well, there's nice country.
It's a country.
Yeah.
New Jersey.
Part of the U.S. Yeah, that country.
The U.S. It's surrounded by the U.S. It's the country of New Jersey. Well, that sounds great. And you're here. Who you're here with?
My wife.
Your wife? That's your wife there's taking all these pictures? Okay. Make sure it's not NSA or something
yeah,
like that.
Well, you never know.
Okay.
You never know.
And
yeah.
your wife has a name, I bet.
Yeah, Maria.
Maria, I'll never stop saying. Maria, yeah. Maria. You sing, do you sing that to her all the time? It'd be hard to avoid, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. I don't sing like that, though.
Yeah. That's one song I can kind of do. I sort of can do it if I let myself go. Well, Greg, someone out there plays along with you, and how does that work then, Sarah?
People at home who want to play the quiz, dial 1-800-942-5669, and you ask them a qualifying question.
Ooh, yes, I'm glad you said that, because I have one right here. Of 25 boy bands that break up, how many reform for comeback tours? Okay, so if you get pretty close to this, we'll give it to you, okay? 25 boy bands that break up. They all break up, obviously, because they're no longer boys anymore. And they're not quite men. So out of 25 boy bands that break up, how many reform for a comeback tour? And let's see who gets closest to this as we go through it. From Flatwood, Kentucky, Sheila's online. Hey, Sheila, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing really good. Have you got a busy weekend planned, Sheila? Or?
Well, right now I'm sitting out on my back patio with my feet propped up doing absolutely nothing.
Really? I could be there probably in... Well, tomorrow around noon. Can you wait that long out there? You know, then you can prop me up.
Sure, I have absolutely no plans other than my husband and I are coming to Columbus to your show.
Oh, you are?
He is super excited, yes. He listened for 20 years, and he is thrilled to death.
Well, that's fantastic. Well, let me ask you this then. Out of 25 boy bands, Sheila, that break up, how many reform for that comeback tour?
I'm going to say, just because this sounds like the perfect number,
33%. Well, it's not really a number. I mean, so what would that be then? 33 out of 25? Well, I can't even work that out, man. Third, that would be 8. So 10, you're saying?
That sounds like the perfect
okay,
number.
10 sounds perfect. Sheila! I got a song for that, too, but I'll spare you that one. And Sheila, this is Greg over here. He's a doctor, a radiologist. And what field are you in, Sheila?
Well, I'm actually I'm an LPN in school to be an RN.
To be what?
I'm an LPN.
To be an RN. Okay, okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay, well, fantastic, fantastic.
Hey,
okay.
Sheila.
So we're going to get medical here on you. The two of you, Sheila, Greg, Sheila. We have various categories. Don't we?
We do. They are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Okay, Sheila, you pick the first one. What would you like?
Let's do odds and ends.
Odds and ends. So you got the whole weekend off, Sheila, or you got to?
I have the entire weekend off.
Fantastic. You can just stay on your patio the entire time?
Yeah, I got a little studying to do, but I can do that from right here on the patio.
It sounds perfect. Anything to drink there? A little libation? A little snack?
Actually, a little coffee.
Okay. A little something in the coffee? A little,
just a little cream and sugar.
Cream and sugar, yes. Sounds great. Okay. Of the, what? Oh, of the 86 spokes characters on cereal boxes, those creatures they put on cereal boxes, spokes characters they call them, how many are looking downward at children? If you notice the eyes on those, some of them look, so kids are looking at the cereal boxes and the characters actually are looking down at the kids. I don't know, out of 86, how many of them actually look down at the children? Is it all 86, 85, or 57?
Ooh,
I guess 33% is not an answer.
Well, let's see, 33%, 3 and 8. That was 2. 86, 85, 50, 57?
I'm thinking 57.
57, he's thinking, Sheila?
57.
I think that sounds wonderful.
57 is right, yes, 57 of them. Surprisingly, the rest are looking away or something.
That's one right and zero wrong.
Okay, sounds good.
And the categories left are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school or science.
Dr. Greg?
How about people?
People. All righty. All right, percentage of brides whose pets were present at their wedding or reception. Okay, is it 3%, 5%, or 10%? Brides whose pets, dogs, cats, what have you, cockatiels.
Sheila, what do you think?
Well, I'm thinking I personally have never attended where the pet has been present.
Yeah.
So I would think it would be a lower number, but...
Uh-huh. Who thinks it would be
that could just be where I live.
Okay. Doc?
Ooh, I'm thinking, what was the number?
10%?
10%? That's pretty low.
Oh, no, I thought you were going to say that. I don't know.
10% is pretty low.
Sounds high.
It sounds high to you? Maybe it is high. What were the other choices?
Why, do I sound high?
No. Not at all. Are we in Colorado?
3, 5, or 10%?
3, 5, how about 3% maybe?
Or 5 or 10%.
Or 5. Sheila, do you think it could be 5%? I've never been to the wedding with where animals are present.
So you think it's low also?
Yeah, I think it's low also. Okay. Maybe 5%?
Then you probably don't think it's 10%.
Yeah, maybe 5%.
Oh, maybe it's 10%.
How many of you would rule out 10% almost immediately? Applaud if you would rule it out 10%.
Okay.
Conversely, how many of you would not? How many would just say... Yeah. C's on that one, but it seems kind of unlikely, but you like it.
The audience is leaning towards 10%.
10% is right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm surprised, but I don't make up these numbers.
Most of them.
That's 2 right and 0 wrong.
Remaining would be then.
Current events, places, things you should have learned in school or science.
Okay. Let's see if we can do this here. Sheila?
Things you should have learned in school.
Okay. Ed's been paying attention. Why did the koala hug the tree?
Okay.
Not to get to the
so
other side.
We no. have choices?
This, no, you know, this is, should have learned this in school, but it acts, I just saw this just recently, this came out as to why koalas actually hug trees like that. And they found out it had something to do with something.
You don't say. Okay, yeah. So.
You're a physician. What could be going on between the koala and the tree?
Does it have something to do with their.
Cooling?
Yeah, it could be. Could be cooling.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were going to say that.
Yeah, I actually was.
Were you leaning towards like?
Yeah, I was leaning towards cooling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could be actually a cooling mechanism. Cooling,
maybe it cools them off so that.
Maybe he's just very fond of that
could
particular
be,
tree.
Could, yeah, maybe
it's a eucalyptus, I think, and they're very attractive trees.
Yeah, and that's their favorite food too. Yeah.
So. Yeah, he's just maybe, really fond of it.
What,
like,
what do you think, Sheila? Like, maybe cooling.
I'm leaning towards cooling too. I'm
cooling is right. Holy cow! You two are unbeatable.
Greg, from the American Revolution to the Arab-Israeli Wars, find it all in Glad You Asked, intriguing names, facts, and ideas for the curious-minded, by Michael Feldman from the editors of Encyclopedia Britannica and Triumph Books. Sheila, the cows may have exited the concourse, but you can still celebrate Dairy Month with fine artisanal cheeses and their perfect companions from Fermagination, both rustic and refined, on Madison's historic Capitol Square. And each of you can complement your meal al fresco cookout. Oh, complement your al fresco cookout with a jar of Sanchez Specialties medium sweet salsa. First you taste the sweet, then you feel the heat. And swoon to mazurkas, polonaise, prelude, and ballade on the CD What Do You Know About Chopin? With Parisian style liner notes by Michael Feldman from Nimbus Records. Congratulations to you both.
No whiskey. Thanks, Doc. Very nice to meet you. Thanks for playing the quiz. Thanks for coming. Sheila, hang on. We'll get that to you. So
Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced at Wisconsin Public Radio for Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, producer international. Adam Friedrich, producer, with assistant from Chris Myshock, Lyle Anderson, Hannah Poth, Kelly Osborne, and Diana Cook. Technical Director Tom Blaine, with help from Brad Kohlberg and Aubrey Ralph. Special thanks to our guests, Bobby Bear Jr. and Paula Poundstone. This is Mike Arnold, hoping you'll join us next week for more of Michael Feldman's What Do You Know?
PRI, Public Radio International.